coming in, you prepare these. These are two of the possible
input configurations you could prepare. I just set the quarter weight plate angles to three different scenarios and look at all three. So three angles, two angles, one angle. So as you reduce the number of angles, you're reducing the number of data, effectively. And I picked the basis for the 2x2s, which gave me the true to be, you know, as sparse as it can get. but we don't know that. We don't know that. We're pretending we don't know that it's sparse. We don't know the pattern. As Masood mentioned, if you know the pattern, of course, you can do terrific. But we don't know the pattern. So there's two outcomes. At most, there's six configurations when we're up here, 3 times 2. And of course, to really estimate this as full as 12 parameters. Okay, so here we go. So this is the case with 5, 30, and 60 angles. So lambda equals 0 is the regular tomography. And it does very well. Don't pay attention to these numbers. I'll explain them in a minute. With a little penalty, it also does very well. Now we go to the next case with 2 angles. Ready? Got that? Penalty. Okay, so I gotta go back here. No, one more. It's a little weight, and I'm penalizing the heuristic for the cardinality of the process metric.
This is part of the optimization
algorithm? Yeah, so the optimization algorithm is minimizing this subject to the constraints on the process.
So your algorithm prefers to find sparse answers?
Yes, when I make lambda not 0.
Okay.
Just to clarify, so in your experimental apparatus, you're keeping the input state the same, but you're measuring it using different measurement settings, getting different data.
Okay.
If you were to run regular tomography, which I guess you did, what threshold would you put on your regular norm when you stop? I'm trying to get a feel for what lambda 0.01 means.
Oh, well, okay, it's a little different because it's a convex optimization. You can set the error threshold in advance, whatever you like,
uh-huh.
And then it'll run till you get there. So you just pick it yourself.
And
here, it's 10 to the minus 7 or 8.
Okay.
Oh, I should have. I wanted to use the actual true probability, but the code I had, it turns out I was using the empirical estimate with 1,000 points. Otherwise, certain numbers here would be 0. So I'll tell you which numbers were 0. It would look much more dramatic and mysterious. So I'll tell you when that happened. So here we are. This, again, is 3 angles. Everything looks okay. So actually, if I had used what I wanted to use, these two errors would be virtually 0.
How many clicks are you taking here?
How many what?
How many clicks are you simulating? Just how many?
Oh, my point is 1,000.
Okay.
That's why we have some numbers. So I did 1,000,000, it would disappear. If I did what I wanted to do, it would be 0. Or at least to the precision of the optimization. Okay, so again, 2. All right. 1. Okay.
What am I supposed to notice?
You're supposed to notice that the regular tomography is cracked.
Right.
And that with very little data, the heuristic of cardinality holds true to the sparsity without knowing the sparsity.
But that's because you're operating on the assumption that the right answer is sparse.
Mm-hmm. So we would assume that for a matrix with large cardinality, then the top one would look good and the bottom one would look bad.
This is large cardinality. A lot of them are non-zero. Oh, yes, you're right. That's okay.
If the true state had large cardinality.
Yeah. Right.
So if the
you can play with the parameter.
Oh, right. Okay.
So if the true state, I mean, it didn't have exactly 0, but some noise close to 0, does this still work?
It still works.
There is a point I don't understand. In your optimization, you are using the knowledge of this true state. So it means that you minimize something with respect to
I'm just generating the probability so I can do the optimization.
Okay, but you are forcing to put it to the true state and in reality nobody knows.
How do you do a simulation if you don't assume something's true?
I think everything can be explained with the analogy of the classical statistical learning, where you have this norm term, and you can prove by two lines that is exactly equivalent to a Bayesian prior. Is the, you want to see the proof?
No, I don't want to see the proof because
it's mathematics. It's mathematics.
These guys have written pages and pages of mathematics.
No, no, it's two lines.
Okay.
So if I were to paraphrase to see if I understand what's going on, you're only taking six measurements, which is not enough to fill out a full tomography, which means that even if you got perfect measurements, the search that's going on the top is going to find a huge space of processes which are all
actually here there's only two measurements.
Oh, okay, fine. So there's you have a small number of measurements, and right. So the traditional way to do this, there's a huge space of possible processes, all of which seem equally good to fit the data. And at the bottom, we're saying if we weight ones with low cardinality, then what this, the bottom one being great, tells us is that maybe there's only one process of cardinality one that describes the data. Is that correct?
Yeah.
But two things. First of all, two measurements aren't enough in general to specify it. But if you happen to make the right measurements on something with a low cardinality, a small number of measurements could be enough. But you find the diagonals being 2, 0, 0, 0, you're done. But the other question is, your cost function is basis dependent.
Yeah, like change the basis.
So you're not just saying, let's look to see if there's a sparse matrix that works, but let's look to see if there's a matrix which is sparse in this basis that works.
Yeah,
which
so you have
less likely to be useful in the real world, right?
You're not?
Yeah.
I don't know. There was a lot of discussion about picking bases.
No, but about whether I might know that I have a matrix that would look sparse in some unknown basis and like to find the basis on the matrix.
Yeah.
And that could still be a hard problem.
Don't forget, the theory comes out of a certain class of signal processing where the theory holds. It doesn't hold for anything under the sun.
I mean, in the case where you only have one in principle non-zero element in your sparse matrix, I see that algorithm probably, I mean, of course it prefers the one with the less entries, so it will prefer the one with where you only have one non-zero element. But what happens if you have two, let's say two big ones, that's still for me sparse. What will do the algorithm to that?
I think the same thing, I didn't run it. It's going to do the same thing.
I mean, will it predict the sparse matrix with two values properly after, let's say, five measurements? What do you think? Or will it just kind of come up as a similar solution where you have a huge block on only one element?
My guess is it'll work, but there's parameters to tweak here, you know, depending on the system.
Because it's predicting the smallest cardinality consistent with the data.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Is it crucial that the norm that you take for the penalty, so if you take the true cardinality or the...
Well, yeah, so this kind of thing where you add a penalty like this has been done with a variety of norms, usually the two norm, it's called regularization. The one norm is the sharpest, and I'm sure if I use the two norm, it would do the same thing. But where the theory exists is for the one norm.
Sorry, can I just quickly comment on what you just said? But I mean, the problem is if you overpenalize your algorithm, you force it into an edge where just the penalty gets, you know, where it doesn't come out because the penalty gets too big if it comes out, predicting the truth. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. So if you choose your lambda in the wrong way, you don't know what how many non-zero eigenvalues your Hamiltonian or your matrix has. So then you pick your lambda, and if you pick it too small, you'll force the algorithm to predict too little non-zero eigenvalue, and that's what I mean with over-penalizing.
So it's a parameter in the algorithm, and depends what you're going to do with the model afterwards, and you're going to try to control some.
I mean, you can imagine combining it with other techniques. This is the first step to get an estimate, and then use that estimate then to refine direct characterization or something.
I know Mauro has.
Like Bayesian are not allowed to say their own opinion because it's
I
say one trivial thing? The definition of norm. There are infinitely many possible norms. Every norm, which corresponds to a specific feature of regularization, correspond to a specific prior. You don't want to believe it? Don't believe it. But anyway, the norm is arbitrary and the lambda is arbitrary. You cannot say there is no prior there. Finished. That's all. To your consideration.
Just
because it's a very well-known method in statistical learning. It's a very well-known method in statistical learning. And statistical learning works pretty well.
Sorry. If I may, a brief comment on what Mauro said. The only thing that I disagree with is the word Bayesian. That this is, what he's doing is he's tweaking his likelihood function, which you could call a prior likelihood. But it's not a Bayesian prior because it's not a distribution.
No, I'm just saying there is a Bayesian interpretation.
So we can argue about that later.
To ask more about Ephraim's question, he said that this was the penalties basis dependent. Could you just count the number of Krauss operators or something and make it not basis dependent?
Well, you don't. That's what you're trying to find the Krauss operator. Is that my understanding?
Well, I guess of the trial.
Maybe you don't understand, but every time you run a heuristic, you actually have a specific process you're checking to see how good it is. And for that particular process, you can just diagonalize it and count the cross operators.
It seems unlikely that it would become a convex optimization.
Oh, is that a problem?
Well, wait, I'm not sure.
I'm just asking, can you make the penalty not basis dependent? And that was a naive guess as to how you might do that.
Well, the penalty is whatever it is. It's how X is parameterized in the probabilities where the basis comes in.
So the two norms are there different, right? And you can change the second one. You can put the metric in the second norm. This becomes a different kind of problem.
I'm just putting a penalty that resembles the cardinality.
Can't one just take minimum of the same over all possible basis?
All possible.
But then you have to do all possible measurements, don't you?
That's a different problem.
No, if there is a question of the basis, why not to take the minimum of the same for x?
Dependent of the basis.
It would be dependent on x. I'd have to put x in as a prior. I'm not sure it's a problem I can solve.
And I think he also wants to measure it, right? Should
we stop asking questions so you can get through more slides? Or what were you done?
That's it. Oh, there was a table of the data.
Okay.
That doesn't tell you anything. Except the one interesting thing, if I had done what I wanted to do, all these numbers up here would be zero. In other words, every single case, the probability outcomes are nil, but not the X.
If you picked a process matrix, which was actually a coherent superposition in the basis that you measured in, say of two probability elements, but then they had two coherences as well. If you ran this algorithm, as I think I understood what you said before, would mean that it would find a chi matrix which had two probability elements and the coherences, and so it would find that smallest cardinality. Oh. If you ran that once, could you then use that guess of what the cardinality of what the process matrix was, rotate your measurements, and then try to make a new very small set of measurements in the right places, and then by iterating that, have a process that basis independently had an adaptive tomographic scheme to get to the lowest cardinality.
I like that idea. Yeah. Possible. Yeah, that could work.
I just wonder about Ephraim's question. Maybe he can correct me or bring me into understanding. I agree it would be most useful to have a basis independent way of finding the right basis and then reconstructing things from there. But in practice, this also seems useful because in practice you have some idea of where you're going and you want to verify a statement.
My feeling is then I already know how to save time. If I'm in the right basis, I measure the diagonals, I look for coherences between the big ones, I stop. The problem is, if I'm not already in the right basis, how do I figure out how to rotate to a basis where I can play that?
And also, if you're not in the right basis and you I guess if you, on a very small series of data, make an estimate with a small cardinality, but then you're doing that based on this kind of penalty that you're adding in, then it's hard to convince someone, no, that really was the chi matrix, although from the whole distribution. Whereas if you then repeat it in the basis where you have, say, you really do have the zero cardinality, then you could really nail it down and say, I tested it and found I was right.
So I'm a little confused about the measuring in the right basis. I see how that works for states, because I can pick a diagonal and measure along the zeros.
Well, in this one,
consider just putting in.
If I had picked a basis,
it's just like a two-qubit
Are you then suggesting measuring in some larger entangled basis on a bigger?
Until this presentation, I'd only been thinking about states.
I'm just going to say that if I take the basis for every element of the 2x2 is a 1 in all the different places, this would be 1, 1, 1, 1, and four non-zero.
I'd like to kind of hear Mauro's two-line proof.
Oh, you want to see that?
If that's possible.
Now?
You want the stick?
No, I have the proof on the
okay. Yeah.
How long are the lines? Okay. Should have
asked. the proof is to line, but you need to know a little bit of what
is the background.
The program that generates the proof is two lines.
How many Bayesians are here, and how many statistics for Max Lyko or whatever?
I don't even know what a Bayesian is.
I'm curious.
My prior is...
I don't have prior.
I don't want to make any prior assumptions. I don't have prior.
Am I done? Yeah.